to the town of Avapri, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. In this town there lived an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 in 19 more. 1 in 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead. And he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men had tried to take him, 20 men had made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 11:20 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red had not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron. When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
We will stand for freedom. God bless all of you, and God bless America and Israel.
Was by no means an exclusively Jewish crowd. Some of the most outspoken support for Israel today is coming from Christian conservatives. From the podium, Janet Parshall, a leading voice on the religious right, made one thing clear. Support for Israel is now a litmus test for those who claim to be America's moral majority.
We represent millions of Christian broadcasters in this country. We stand with you now and forever.
Well, you heard it. There you heard it, right here on Radio War, White Aryan Resistance Radio. And this is Terrible Tommy coming to back to you with some new shows. New shows right here from our very heavily fortified bunker in Southern California. So there you've got it. Now you've got the Christians the conservative right-wing Christians have committed all their millions of people, radio stations around the country, to Israel. And you wondered why you can't get into a talk show on a Christian station and talk about what the rats the Israelis are. How about that? Well, I throw down the gauntlet. You know, there's the Christian Identity Group in this country that are supposed to be on our side. Well, I say then I'm throwing down the gauntlet, then all the Christian Identity people should turn their guns and immediately, so to speak, on the Christian right. Let's see all you identity preachers out there picketing and going after the Christian right and condemning that Christianity. I don't see it, and if I don't see it, that's going to put you on the enemy's side just because you're not doing anything. Well, Jerry the Jew's back in here. We got him in his cage. He didn't do it too bad after all those experiments we did on him. We got to get things back in order here, and the first thing we got to do is, Jerry the Jew, you've been out of your cage for several days, and you're getting to be a pain in the ass, so get back in the cage there and go, man. No, I'm not going to stop. Get back in the cage, and I'm going to grab you by the arm.
Are you happy now?
Yeah, I broke your arm, and I'm glad. I'm thrilled to death.
Are you happy now?
Yeah, I'm very happy about it, damn it. I'm going to give you one more punch for good measure, Jerry. There you go. You're back in that cage again. And as I said before, this is War Radio, patiently waiting on the entrance of the illustrious Dr. Kaldenberg, who's been very busy, but we haven't done these radio shows now for three weeks, I guess, because old Tommy is a little under the weather. Now, we've been working our ass off here, but we just haven't been doing radio shows, so we're going to get back in the saddle. He should be coming in here about any minute, and you know, I haven't seen too many of those mestizos surrounding the old bunker here the last few days. I think they all went back to Mexico to hit on a piñata or something, because I think he's going to have easy going coming into the bunker today. In the meantime, don't forget to renew your subscriptions to War Newspaper. That's War Newspaper, 12 issues a month. And we just began doing a full 20-page paper, devoid of advertising, actually. And we're sending out a supplement ad, a little catalog, every other month with the paper. And this way you're going to get 20 full pages of rock'em, sock'em, irreverent, seditionist, racist, non-PC information in that newspaper. So 12 issues for $30 in the USA, and it comes to you in a plain brown envelope, and also in Soviet Kyrgyzstan up there in Canada, which now they say had a mad cow. Well, I don't blame somebody for going mad in Canada, even if it's a cow, because they threw me in jail for 5 days up there for giving a speech. Strange country, and you can't offend the Jews up there. You can't say kike, and you can't say dirty Jew, and you can't say niggers are terrible. You can't say anything like that up in Canada. Oh, they get on your ass. So they actually, I think you'd be freer in Russia than in Canada. So anyhow, but we do have a few good men and women up there in Canada. Not near enough. Our subscriptions in Canada are very small. And I know who gets most of the subscriptions from Canada. It's these mealy-mouth right-wingers. Yeah, you know, the revisionist types and all that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, they subscribe to a lot of that pansy crap. Most of the people up there in Canada can't handle the heavy stuff. Also, the paper is $50 in all other countries, and that's first class. It's first class to Canada, too. So get your newspaper and get your little catalog. We got all kinds of new items, new tapes. We've added a lot of books. We've added some CDs. We're adding DVDs pretty soon, and we got a new DVD out. It's the ancient show, well, not ancient, but back in the mid-80s that I did on my show, Race and Reason, with Ben Klassen. I think that's the only television show in existence of its kind. We've got it on DVD, and it's a $15 bill to you. Now, if you'd like to call in on our landline, our update channel, we put out a little news commentary every 3 days. Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday now, and that's 760-723-8996. And you'll hear old Terrible Tommy, and once in a while, Dr. Kahlenberg on there. And you'll get the up-to-the-date news. And it's usually only about 15, maybe 20 minutes long. Well, I see the Christians are putting out a big appeal. This is the American Friends Service Committee. That's the Quakers, right? And it's for Kura-Rama, means to live in Shona, the language most commonly spoken in Manica Province, Mozambique. There are 420,000 AIDS orphans in Mozambique, and 21% of the adult population of Manica is HIV positive. The American Friends, that's the Quakers Service Committee, is providing both relief and aid and long-term development programs. Isn't that interesting? And our work is funded in large part by the donations of caring individuals. Your support is greatly appreciated. Well, you know what you can do with that? Mozambique, you can burn in hell, man, before I would ever send you a dime to rescue anybody. Mother Nature, my natural God, is straightening things out and taking care of your ass. And I would wish that the bad karma would come down on these Christians and these Quakers who are continually propping up and importing these bastards into our country. Hey, you know where most of this Social Security money is going? It's supposed to help people that are senior citizens and to help them pay their bills and so forth. Well, a lion's share of it's going down the tube in these casinos all over the country. Now, these are the same people that will cry to you, oh, I don't have any money to donate to the racial cause. Oh, I'm on Social Security. I can't do anything. But it's showing now that that a hell of a high percentage of these seniors are blowing their money into these Jew gambling casinos. And I saw a picture of one in the paper here where it said he comes to the casino 24 times a month. Well, I hope the stupid bastard starves to death. So anyhow, most of these old geezers, including myself, they get Social Security about $900 a month, right? Thank you, Lord, and all that kind of stuff. But they, now here they are. Now, there would be no problem for them, because a lot of them have savings, a lot of them have, they're retired, and they're getting money, you know, to put $100 into the racist cause, right? Yeah, but you know, if you go to a meeting of these right-wing racists, they always whine, I don't have any money.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any money. I ought to grab them by the throat and turn them upside down and shake them, damn it, shake them, shake them. Shut up, Jerry. Well, Dr. Kahlenberg is in the studio. Boy, it's been a long dry spill, Dr. Kahlenberg.
Yeah, flew everywhere.
Well, I'm telling you, I had it, but we're still walking wounded. I feel great, but it's just it settles in your windpipes down there, your larynx or whatever the hell.
Well,
your bronchial tubes. Well, they ain't going to keep me down because, just like I say, I'm representing the devil here anyhow, so that keeps me well.
Yeah. You know, talking about cheap bastards, I don't know, I probably told you the story before, but you know how the magazine in these times used to be a newspaper, now it's a magazine, it's a Marxist magazine got started, is they sent out a letter and they asked for 300 people to sponsor the newspaper with $1,000. This is in 1975, 76, to sponsor the newspaper with $1,000 a year donation until the newspaper broke even. They actually got 300 people, Marxists, Reds, to come up with $1,000 a piece when in the early 70s, when that was buku money. You know, that was a shitload of money.
Yeah, but the Marxists got all the money.
Oh yeah. But
all these pseudo Marxists running around, these college guys at the head of all these parades, they're always got plenty of money.
I told you you could always tell where the Marxist meetings are because they were the one with a whole bunch of Mercedes Benz parked.
Well, that's what we're going to say right now. We want 30 people, right, to donate $1,000. What, a year?
Well, they had 300 people, $1,000 a year.
Oh, we want 300 people out there to donate $1,000, a year?
Yeah.
A year until we break even.
Well, you know, too,
of course, the secret is they never break even.
Oh, yeah. But you know, too, that the left is they pay all their staff members. You know, they pay them really good union wages and benefits and stuff like that. The minute you do something like that in the race, they go, you're a thief! You're a goddamn thief!
Oh, yeah. These right-wing conservatives are actually more red than the reds when it comes to money.
Oh, no, they're fucking
genius. Because anybody who makes any money in the racist movement, they accuse of being a patriot for profit. Yeah. You know, I used to laugh. Even David Duke, I know, he's done some shitty things, but I used to say, look, David Duke's got talent. He could go to work for any corporation in the country.
He could
make it. He could make five. Well, his dad was a career with Shell.
Yeah, that's why.
He could have got all that stuff. You see, so
400,000 a year. He's not stupid.
Yeah. Well, even the worst guys around in this struggle, most of them are pretty intelligent. They could get good jobs.
In these times, you know how much a typesetter got. Well, this is 76. In these times, they had ads out and stuff. They got $12.50 full benefits. You know, medical, trade union, and everything. This is 75, 76. So I was thinking, you know, could you imagine anybody in the race movement asking something like that? All these people go,
Oh my God, he wants to be paid. He wants to make a little money.
You know,
he wants to be able to buy groceries.
Yeah,
he's got to be a patriot for profit.
Well, and everybody goes, well, why do the Reds have so much and we don't have shit? That's why, because their movements won't
because
be
they
cough,
their
money.
They cough up.
Yeah.
Well, you want to go to the letters? Not the letters.
You mean the calls.
The calls.
Calls.
From our old 760-723-8996. And we put a new show on there every 3 days, and it's usually just old terrible Tommy.
Yes.
But once in a while, the illustrious Dr. Caldenberg does step into the studio and grace us with his pearls of wisdom.
That's true.
I'm a skinhead from around the Midwest. And man, when I, this little leftist kid, this real leftist, socialist, communist, well, I told him about the world without Jews, and boy, he almost shit himself. You know, he almost shit his pants to hear about this. He's like, oh, no, that can't be true. Well, you know, so I'm going to try to order your book, or I'm going to order that book off your site pretty soon. And I'm going to show that to him. I'm going to read it myself, and I'm going to show that to him and see what he thinks.
Now, what do you think about that caller?
Yeah, it's pretty. Should show it to him. That's a pretty good little essay there.
Well, yeah, somebody gave me that book a couple of years ago. I don't know who did, but I'll tell you, it's interesting. And, of course, almost no right-wingers know about it. And most of the left don't know about it.
Well, the left, they call it On the Jewish Question for some reason, A World Without Jew, the original title. It freaks them out because the book is kind of an answer to an essay by a guy named, I think his name was Barra or something like that, who wrote a book called On the Jewish Question. So they take Barra's title and put it on Karl Marx's book.
Oh, come on, man.
I guess they thought it was something too anti-Semitic.
Well, Karl was pretty racist.
Oh,
I know
oh, yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah.
His
yeah.
son-in-law was, what the, was his
name? Oh, you mean the married Jenny? Yeah, he was a nigger and stuff, and he hated him. And guy,
well,
lot,
he used to say, my son-in-law belongs in a zoo.
Oh, yeah, the monkey belongs in a zoo.
Well, so Karl Marx was a racist.
Oh, yeah, well, he used to call his enemies, people he really didn't like, Jews with nigger blood and stuff like that.
I bet he really hated those religious Jews, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was, his dad was a rabbi, he was a Jew when he was a little kid, then he converted to Christianity, you know, because a lot of the Christian socialists around the mid-1800s were really anti-Semitic. You know, Robert Owens and those guys were anti-Semitic. So he picked up a lot of anti-Jew stuff, and then he became like an atheist socialist, and that's when he started writing.
Yeah, good old atheist, huh?
Yeah, from Jew to Christian to atheist.
Well, that's about the... Well, I didn't go through the Jew part.
Well, your identity.
I went... Well, I sort of Jew.
Yeah, you were the true Hebrew.
I was a real Hebrew.
You went from Christian to true Christian to atheist.
And I followed that Yahshua all over the place.
Yeah.
Beautiful, white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl has been ruthlessly murdered by a brown-skinned piece of shit monster, like that Rodriguez creep. Up in the northern part of the country. He killed that beautiful white girl. And are the white people of America up in arms about it? Nope. Just a bunch of sheep. And as far as right-wing rumor-mongering is concerned, nobody does a better job of it right now than that shithead Alex Jones, who's on, mostly on shortwave, that big-mouth redneck out of Texas. A lot of I think he's a deep-cover disinformation specialist myself. And have you already any information about the Berlin Holocaust Monument going up near the ruins of the old Reich Chancellery in downtown Berlin? There's a chance that this big, ugly monument might stir up feelings of anti-Semitism among the Europeans. If it goes up, if that ugly monument goes up, let's hope it does stir up some anti-Semitic feelings. But are Germans supposed to be crucified for the rest of eternity for something they didn't even do? Thanks for your time.
Well, that's why I like it. The more Jewish crap they slam down their throat, the better.
Oh, yeah.
I wish they'd make it as big as Disneyland over there in Berlin.
Oh, yeah, have a little guest. I survived Auschwitz.
And throw in Knott's Berry Farm with it.
They instead of have the Cyclone roller coaster, they got the Cyclone B roller coaster.
Yeah,
Cyclone B.
The biggest roller coaster
in
Europe.
Yeah, it's a gas.
Well, hell, the Europeans are getting fed up not only with the Jews, but Christianity in general.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're leaving the churches in droves, and that's why they're beginning to see the United States in a different light and telling old Uncle Bushy to go to hell because they know he's insane.
Well, you know, the same thing's happening in America. A lot of Americans are leaving Christianity and grow. You know, people, actually, when they say they're Christians, a lot of times it's like, you know, like Zodiac, whether you're Pisces or Aries or something. That's how much Christianity values to most of these people. So that's why a lot of the Christians are pushing all this third world immigration, because they need some butts to fill the pews of their churches. Because a lot of white people, like I say, are just emptying out the churches.
But still, this leftover guilt crap is the worst problem with religion.
Oh, yeah.
And now you got this, like he's talking about, this beautiful gal up there in the North Carolina.
Oh, she was a Frederick the Hollywood underwear model.
South Dakota, up there or something. I mean, she was absolutely
gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And so you hear about it for about 2 weeks, and that's about the attention span of the Americans. And of course, our parents and all those people, they'll be out there forgiving the bastards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus says to forgive all these people that kill our kids.
You know, the thing is, up in that country, there's going to be a lot of fucking Jesus freaks going to say, that God was punishing her because she modeled underwear. Oh, my God. Lingerie.
Oh,
you know, they'll do that. You know how pricky these Christians are.
Oh,
They'll say that was God's justice, and this Mexican was only fulfilling God's will.
Well, what about this? What about now? We kept the food out of the hands of the Iraqis for, 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 or 3 years after Desert Storm? Thousands of babies died and all that, and all the Christians said, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But now the Iranians, who are our enemies, too, they hate our ass. That whole country is run by religious nuts, too.
Oh, yeah.
And so what do they say? Oh, God, we got to help the Iranians because they had an earthquake.
Well, you know what
Fuck the Iranians.
You know what Christian charity does in reality? You know, before this century, this is really the charity century. Before this century, there wasn't much charity. And if nature would weed out the overpopulation with drought and starvation and famine, you know, and so the population kind of stayed pretty steady. And now in the turn of the century, all these Christian organizations start having all these charities. And instead of, like, you know, when a nigger has 10 kids, instead of, you know, 9 of them dying, here comes a charity. Will give this nigger enough food to keep his 10 kids alive, and they'll have 10 kids, and they'll have 10 kids. And pretty soon, you know, the population is, doubling, every 10 years now? You know, it's just this century, because it hasn't skyrocketed to this ever. You know, it's just this century, and pretty soon, I mean, there's going to be so many people. There was like an Isaac, I think it was Isaac Asimov, he wrote a novel about a short story that the Earth got so heavy with overpopulation that it started moving out of its orbit.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine having so many darkies on the planet that were knocking it out of the orbit?
Well, also, you know, 90% of this is fundraising.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the boobs eat it up, you know, all these little old ladies. Oh, that poor little baby over there.
And the thing they don't realize,
I can finance a baby for $2 a day.
You know, the planet, the maximum, can support like a billion people comfortably. And what do we got? What do we got now? Like 7 billion? So there's like 6 billion people that cannot be supported.
But if it wasn't for all these tax-exempt fund outfits, it wouldn't be happening
exactly.
Because the average person in a small little teeny church, even in a church, is not going to be sending a bunch of money all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
But this is big business.
Oh, yeah.
And they're making all these guys that run these outfits, they're living
kings. Six-figure numbers. And plus, they get all the travel, and it's through the tax, like these, it's through all the tax-exempt organization. They can fly all over, take trips, and everything's a tax write-off. It doesn't cost you shit.
Well, you see how you solve that in one afternoon? in the White House with the right guy,
mm-hmm.
no more tax exemptions.
Yeah.
No more tax-free churches. Just like that. Boom. Yeah. Can you imagine how much more money would be back into the economy?
Right. Well, you know what they should do is actually put these people, these charities, on trial for genocide, because it's because of them that 6 billion people that are alive right now are going to die from hunger. Eventually, the world's not going to be able to support them. The whole thing's going to collapse. And who's responsible? All these fucking charities that gave them food so they can breed. Like, it's like having, if you have a cockroach problem, you don't just start feeding the cockroaches and feed them over and over again until you, pretty soon you got a whole house just crawling with them.
But they're following Jesus.
I know.
And that's what the lying bastards that put the Bible together said.
Yes.
Jesus said.
And that's what they should be put on trial for, because following Jesus leads to genocide.
And if there had been a Jesus and he was mm-hmm. the Son of God, he wouldn't tell people that, because he would know would overpopulate and you would die.
We're facing, like, can you imagine 10, 20, 100 years from now the misery that's going to be on this earth because of overpopulation?
Because all these
cockroach races are just breeding like hell.
Yeah.
And who's responsible for it?
And instead of stopping it, we say, come on over here.
That's what they're doing. They're feeding them, and now there's no living space in their area. What do they do? Oh, come to the West. Fill our churches.
I think the
Bring your cockroach ass over here.
I think the Europeans are wising up a lot faster than we are, and boy, I'm glad to hear that. And, they did stop the construction of that Holocaust monument.
Oh, they did?
Because they found out some of the paint they were using came from a company that used to make Zyklon B.
Mm-hmm.
And they ordered them to stop building until they straightened it out. So that meant the rabbis went over and got paid off by the company. And they said, kosher now.
Yeah.
It's kosher now. It's okay.
Drop it out here in Cheyenne. I like the messages. I like the format, too. I think it's pretty good. You keep it, changing it 3 times a week. I always learn something. Every time I call up, you always tell me something. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Killed in Iraq is approaching 500. That's about the same size as the Zog Senate and the Zog House of Representatives. What a shame the figures couldn't be twisted around. Instead of 500 dead American soldiers, the 500 deceased Zogites in Washington, D.C. Take care.
Well, he's got something going there, man. But
yeah.
You know what? All these guys are all hot to go over there. I mean, maybe some of them are not so hot, but they all... of course, I did get some letters off the internet from guys over there that are all pissed off for being there.
Yeah.
They wrote them that Michael Moore, and Michael Moore put them on the internet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there were some good letters there. Yeah. I put it out on my update, but... Yeah.
A lot of those guys, though, that are really hot, if you know them... A lot of them are from, small towns and from the South. And stuff.
Well, mainly the South.
Yeah, South.
Oh,
yeah.
The South. They got this patriotism screwed up.
Yeah.
They did in Vietnam, too.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. Most of the people that were there were Southerners, and so why Southerners?
Yeah, I think I'd be happy, too, if all those senators and congressmen suddenly disappeared. Maybe we can get the Al-Qaeda to come over and kidnap them, take them someplace. Yeah.
Salutations, Tom. Hey, there's a little movement going on about the country by the primitive Stone Age remnants of an archaic people, the American Indians, to do away with all Indian names. Anything to do with Indians, they want, because they said it insults their ancestry, insults them to use Indian names. Well, there's literally millions of Indian names in this country. I'm all for it. Let's eradicate and forget about these primitive peoples that we should have annihilated back in the 1800s when we had the opportunity. Yeah, if they want to, it's just something for to piss and moan about. It tickles me. Let's do away with all Indian names so we can forget about the motherfuckers. That's my opinion on it. I just love it the way things are going. You're right about Bush. He is a traitor. And I just love the chaos. He tickles me to no end. Have a good day, Tom. You're doing a good job.
Well, first of all, we know that these aren't Indians.
Oh, yeah.
That any pure blood of what they call an Indian is an Asian, mm-hmm. a Mongol, a Mongoloid. So people are going to be bragging about being part Indian. Well, what part of them is Asian Mongoloid?
Oh, yeah.
You can see, go to National Geographic or look at TV and see these people up there in Mongolia and up there.
Yeah.
Hell, they look just like pure blood Indians.
Burma. Go look at Burma. They look just like people from Burma.
That's right. So But I've been supporting this for a long time. I was thrilled to death when the Indians said, well, we don't want your names on our names on your football teams and all that. I'd take all Indian names out of this country. Every last swinging one of them.
You know, like even things like Coyote. You know, Coyote is an Aztec name. Instead of calling them Coyotes, to call them what they used to call them, that's Prairie Wolves.
Prairie Wolves.
That's what the white people used to call them on the prairies, were Prairie
Wolves.
Right.
Well, you know how white Europeans have this habit.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking it's cute. We'll name everything after the Indians, or we'll, you know, they didn't name a lot of things after the niggers, did they?
No.
That's interesting. They must.
Except in Northern California, there used to be a Nigger Creek, but then they changed the name in the 60s. There was one, there was a creek named after niggers.
Well, down south, I was reading one where they're trying to get, Florida, there's a Nigger Hill and Nigger Town, and they're actually on the map, and some guy has put up a deal to get rid of them.
There's Nigger in Africa. Was it Nigergeria? Nigeria.
Well, I think that they should call these ghettos the Nigger Town.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So people
Bean Town.
So people, when they see them on the map, could stay out of them.
Yeah.
Because you get off the freeway and get into Nigger Town, you're like being in deepest, darkest Africa.
There's a lot of stuff like Seattle and in Delaware and a lot of shit named after Indians.
Oh yeah. Well, anyhow, next time somebody tells you, you know, Custer was right. He was really right.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherman was even
right. That's what I was going to say. Sherman.
What did Sherman say?
Well, Andrew Jackson, he said that the only good Indian was a dead Indian.
Well, Sherman supposedly said it, too.
Well, he probably did, but Andrew Jackson said it before him.
But Jackson backed it up.
Yeah.
He ran them all out. See, Jackson was the greatest president we ever had.
Yeah.
Number one, he got rid of the U.S., the central bank that the Europeans were putting into this country.
Yeah.
And then he opened up the West for colonization, and he took all the Indians, Asians, and drove them out west and all that. And he brought the debt in the United States to zero, the public debt.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that the greatest president? And he at the same time, a would-be assassin attacked him on the front steps.
Oh, he had a shootout with
of the White House, and he had a shootout with the guy.
Well, you know, on his days of his inauguration, instead of inviting all these uppity class capitalist bastards to the inauguration, he opened it up to the people.
Yeah.
And I forgot one of the newspapers was complaining because all the spurs, you know, on their boots and stuff was tearing up the carpet, and all these cowboys were crawling drunk through the window and stuff. All these frontiersmen, they said it was getting like mud all over the carpets. And
but doesn't it remind you a little bit of American Julius Caesar?
Yeah.
The way he did things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Actually, Cincinnatus. You know who Cincinnatus, he was in the Roman Republic. He was like a gentleman, a farmer who became a king. And once he fulfilled his duties, he went back to becoming a gentleman farmer again. You know, he didn't want any more power. Once he saved the Republic, he split. You know, that's who Cincinnati's named after.
You know, I heard something on the radio not too long ago, and I forget who it was, but it was a well-known American, I don't know, Mark Twain or somebody, that went to the White House back in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And walked in the front door, and there was nobody at the door, and he wandered around the White House for 20 minutes before he found anybody. That's how it used to, how open it used to be.
Yeah.
Now the presidents are afraid for their lives.
They deserve to be.
And, of course, they couldn't shoot their way out of nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So Andrew Jackson, he said, leave the door open. I'll kill the bastard if he come in.
Well, Aaron Burr was vice president when he got Hamilton in the duel and stuff, and he was taking ads out in the newspaper calling him a faggot because he wouldn't fight him, and, you know, because Burr was basically a professional duelist. A vice president was a professional duelist.
Gunfighter.
Yeah, he was a gunfighter.
Yeah, he'd have been out west, they'd have called him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A duelist.
John Wesley Harden.
Yeah. And so finally, all these ads he took out in the paper calling him a faggot and daring him to come out and stuff. So finally, Hamilton came out to fight him, and he just put a bullet through his head, and that was it.
That was the end of that. That was the end of that. You know, he was from the Caribbean, that old
Burr.
Yeah, and they say that his father was a Jew, or maybe a Moreno Jew, and that was supposed to be big news in the old days among the right wing. And
oh, really?
Burr. Not Burr.
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Hamilton,
about that.
I'm sorry,
that.
Not Burr.
You're driving a nail through my heart calling Burr a Jew.
No, I was mistaken.
Hamilton, Hamilton. Yeah.
But his father, Hamilton's father, was a plantation owner down in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And his his history and genealogy is a little bit mysterious, to say the least.
Oh, you know, it's a good book to read about Burr. It's Gore Vidal's book, Burr.
Yeah.
That's a really good book.
I should read it. Yeah. But every time I look at that book, it's about 4 inches thick. I say, man, maybe I'd rather watch television.
Well, you know, just
what
like
I say,
when you're sitting around in the doctor's office or just kicking back, it's a good book to read. Another one that Gore Vidal wrote that's really, really good is Julian. It's about Julian II. He was Constantine's nephew, and when Constantine converted the Roman Empire to Christianity, it started falling apart, and Julian II decided to turn it back to Mithraism, you know, paganism and stuff.
Smart boy.
Yeah. And it's a very interesting novel about all the arguments and debates and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I'm going to read it one of these days.
Yeah.
Tom, that restaurant was a Chili's, Chimney's, I believe, or a Chili's Mexican restaurant, and they over 200 people got hepatitis A. They say it came from the onions, but my gut feeling is that some dirty Mexican workers were back there that didn't wash it after they took a crap that spread that around. But anyway, it was over 100 people died, or 200 people got hepatitis A from that. All right, catch you later.
That's good. I like
you. Well, you know, now we're going to be raising most of our vegetables down south of the border and even Central America. And they've so-called sent inspectors down there because there's big operations starting up in Mexico.
Oh, God.
And, you know, what these people, how they live, you know, and their hygiene is highly suspect.
Can you get, what would it be, the hepatitis A was in the water and then the onions are mostly water? Is that how you get it, would get it from the onions?
I'm not sure about that. But anytime.
I know I went down to Mexico once and I had like a salad there because I thought that was the only thing safe to eat. And I guess the salad's full of water. And boy, did I get Montezuma's revenge from just eating a salad in Mexico.
Yeah, well, my father-in-law contacted some kind of a strange disease that eventually killed him.
Really?
He was down there at that Cancun place.
Oh, yeah. My sister.
But I guess they went out on the regular town or something and maybe ate something. But it was some kind of a parasite or something. The doctors never could figure it out, and it killed him.
You know, my sister said, you know, she like on Christmas stuff, she usually goes to a little island. I forget the name of it, in Cancun. But she told me it's kind of in the middle of the Gulf there, and that there are absolutely no Mexicans on the island. It's all Americans. It's in Mexico, but it says everybody there is a white person. Everybody, every staff member and stuff, and it's kind of an interesting place, part of Mexico where there's no Mexicans.
Well, go down to Lake Chapala.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Chapala is a big one down there. I forget how far it's. Yeah. I think it's northeast of Mexico City. There's a whole American community there.
Well, Rosarita.
They got the fast food restaurants and everything.
Oh, yeah. Rosarita, you know, Rosarita Beach is all basically an American
colony. That's a little different. Yeah. That's a lot closer. But this is way down deep into central Mexico, and you go in there, and it's all American.
Yeah.
And I don't even think they use many of the Mexican servants.
I know a guy that lives in Rosarita Beach, and he says he's got like a beachfront home. It's a gigantic home. He pays $550 a month for a gigantic home right on the beach. He says it's really nice.
Much for the speculation and the real estate scams in the United States.
Oh, yeah, really. Really?
That's right. And that's called inflation.
Yeah.
They say, no inflation? Then how come a house goes up in value double?
Yeah.
In a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's inflation.
Yeah. That's all because of all these immigrations and stuff. All these non-whites coming here buying up all these houses and jacking the price.
Yeah. And like you said, they buy them up and don't even come over here. They don't rent them out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. These are for businesses.
Money comes from black market money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It comes from all this money we loan to these countries that don't filter down to poor people at all.
Oh, yeah.
In a way, it's good, too, because maybe they won't have so many kids. But on the other hand, all these people that are the brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws of the big shots, they get all that money, and then they come here and buy up the country.
Well, what they do is if they,
God damn, that makes me mad.
The scam is what they
Where's
do.
Where's my gun?
The scam is what they do is they buy a house, and then they rent it, and then therefore they have a business on American soil, and they're employed. So that way it's a lot easier for them to immigrate to America since they've already got a business there. That's why they buy the houses.
And then they can bring all their other relatives.
Exactly. Because
they don't hire Americans. Filipinos.
And they buy more houses so they can bring more non-whites in, and then it just jacks the real estate price up, and it just fills the nation full of all the
You're making me so goddamn mad. I want to take a gun out and start shooting right now.
Oh.
Hold me down. Okay. Hold me down. Hold me down! Ah, shut up, Jerry the Jew. Well, I'll break your arm again. Give me your arm, goddammit. Here.
Are you happy now?
Yeah, I'm glad it's broken. I'll break that arm. I broke the other arm. Yeah, I'm very happy, damn it.
I like the old format better where you and Dr. Kaldenberg yucked it up for like 30 minutes and then you played the callers' responses to the show. I thought that was a great format. Let's hear what the other callers had to say. But that flu epidemic that's floating around, that's probably coming in from Mexico, unless I miss my guess. All those dirty wetbacks are bringing that flu bug in with them. And the right wing ought to be ashamed of themselves because it's the liberals nowadays who are speaking out against these evil globalization trade agreements. It's the liberals who are speaking out against this damn war in Iraq. So the right wing is falling down on the job, and these radical left-wingers are the ones who are, I find myself identifying more with them nowadays. How about that? Thanks for your message. Bye.
Well, there you go. He likes the old show.
I think that man's a genius.
A genius? Yeah, but but it took up a whole hour on
I know.
The
well, yeah, we can't do that on the phone.
We used to have so much trouble with phone machines and everything.
Yeah.
And if enough people call, but still, how many people can call in? I mean, you only got so many hours a day.
Yeah, he needs to get an internet connection where he can listen on the internet.
Yeah, get yourself an internet connection and listen to our radio show that's up there at resist.com. They're all up there, and they're clear as a bell, and boy, they're great. So anyhow, that'll work out. Sorry, boys. Well, as far as this flu and all this crap, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of it I'm sure comes in from Mexico and Central America, because we got plenty of Guatemalans and people like that in here, and they send their kids to school, and all these white parents, they don't seem to think anything about it, and then they drag the shit home.
Yeah.
I know that almost everybody I know with kids, they immediately get this flu and stuff like that. And also, but don't forget these Asians. These gooks, man, are coming in here by the thousands. And they're coming through that liberal state of Canada that we love so much. And then they're dropping right down into the U.S. And there's no area in the world got more crap in as far as disease than Asia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they come up with new ones all the time.
Especially the dog-eating countries of Asia.
Yeah. Hey, that reminds me. I was exposing a deal where they've got some kind of a company up there in L.A. someplace that gets all these animals and cows and horses and pigs and goats and dogs and cats and everything. And they even after the maggots are in them. And they're pushing them into these deals and grinding them up. And you know what they're making?
Chinese buffet food.
They're making pet food.
Oh.
They're making pet food out of pets.
Oh.
And it's pretty sick, considering that a lot of street people and people don't have any money will even eat dog food.
Yeah.
Now, in the past, dog food has had higher regulations on it than regular people food.
Yeah.
It had much more minerals and everything else, so that would tend to be good for somebody who really can stand the taste or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But now, what the hell, you don't know what you're getting.
Well, it's that case of mad cow disease in Washington, because it's supposed to be illegal to feed cows to other cows, because that's how they get mad cow disease. And I guess that's what happened, is they ground up a cow meat and were feeding it to cows and stuff. And that's
I think it's mostly because of the brain and the spine.
Yeah,
and
the brain
like
and the tail and stuff. But yeah, it's supposed to be illegal to feed livestock to the livestock.
Well, do you know, up until this time, they had this rule where they had these cows that were sick but could walk.
Yeah.
And they'd herd them all in there and do them too.
Yeah, they got a name for that. I forget what it is.
Yeah. I forget the name they called them. And and now Washington saying, well, maybe we need to stop this. And then another guy says, well, they're okay to eat. It's just they're sick. I mean,
yeah, it's just they can't walk.
See, you can't trust anybody, your food supply anymore. They can do anything to the food supply because people are so goddamn corporate oriented.
Mm-hmm.
They're strictly in it for the money. They don't care about anybody.
Oh, nothing at all.
So you got to be extremely careful what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, man. You might be eating your best friend.
It is. You know how the government operates. And now that there's a big thing about mad cow disease. They've only got so many inspectors. About majority of the food inspectors now are going to be looking at the cattle and the fish and the pork and the poultry. They're not going to pay any attention to it. Then they're going to get all kinds of scummy stuff going through there. You know, a lot of sick chickens are going to go through the poultry thing because none of the inspectors are watching.
Yeah, and for the vegetarians, they got nothing to talk about because the onions are fast and stuff.
You have hepatitis A from onions.
Yeah, and then the guys in the restaurant, they're back there. A lot of these ragheads that wipe their ass with their hand.
With their left hand.
And then you got these snotty-nosed Mexicans that they don't, you got to watch them or they won't wash their hands.
Most people don't know that the Arabs, they don't use toilet, they wipe their butt with their left hand and they wash it in a bowl.
Is that the left hand? Yes, left hand.
That's why they only supposed to, even if you're left hand, you're supposed to shake with your right hand in a Muslim country because left hand and you wipe your ass with and you're always supposed to hide it.
Yeah.
It's really kind of offensive. You know, he said Ayatollah Khomeini, he'd never show his left hand, he'd only show his right.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah. But you know, you got these Mexicans are working these Muslims working in, Taco Bell and stuff like that, and the manager will say, move it, use both hands, make those tacos faster. Okay. They use their left hand to make the tacos, so no wonder people get this.
Oh, man, barf.
This is Tom on Dig Your Radio. This is Bud Moore. Signing off. Message, we did not capture Saddam. We found him. He doesn't even know where he's at. He's out of his mind. I don't know if he's drugged or concussion or he's completely mentally out of it. And we just found him, that's all. And it's going to get worse now, much worse, like you say. Very good. And they're all going to fight worse now. They're going to hate us more than ever. All the Arabs everywhere are going to hate us more than ever. Because he's a big hero throughout the Arabic world, Saddam Hussein. We're humiliating them, you see. And they're going to fight back more than ever now. And the only people to profit from all this are the kikes, of course. You know, onward Christian soldiers fight for the kikes. 88.
Well, you know, this morning they bombed a big hotel restaurant over there in Baghdad.
Was that a Chili's?
No, but they got about 30, 40 people.
Uh-oh.
And the restaurant supposedly was frequented by Christians.
Uh-oh.
Christian wogs.
Uh-oh, Jesus didn't
say.
Maybe
Seventh-day Adventist wogs.
So it was a vegetarian restaurant.
I don't know. What the hell? But they got them pretty good.
Yeah.
That just happened overnight.
I just feel sad.
So, I mean, they say that they weren't trying to humiliate Saddam Hussein.
Oh, so that's why they were doing swabs of his mouth like you do a fucking horse and stuff.
Yeah, right. I mean, that was, it's really funny how when it's one side, that's okay.
Oh, can you imagine if it was American soldiers, they'd be going to the UN to get him for war crimes
and
prisoners and... Because there, I guess there's a clause in there that you're not supposed to use them for propaganda purposes. You're not supposed to parade them around and stuff. And what do? They parade him around and, they humiliated him there. They were delousing his beard. What kind of a crap is that?
Well, then they were showing before that all the dead bodies of the Iraqis. You're not supposed to do that either.
Yeah.
But when we, when they show... Our GIs dead. Oh, my God.
Get them for war crimes.
The whole world's got to come to an end.
Got to get them for war crimes. Bring the UN in.
I'll tell you, it's really, you're right, caller. It's going to get meaner than a Texas high wind.
Heard of that.
Yeah.
Great message. Very informative. Just think about Adolf Hitler went down. At least he died with a clean uniform. He died with his wife in a bunker. He made sure that his body... And his wife's body were never found so they could be put on display. So, I'm really kind of disappointed in Saddam Hussein. I expected a little bit more from him. But you're right. All the Jewish, the Jews are going crazy. They're having orgasms right now. And Israeli troops are training U.S. forces in Iraq to knock down doors, drag people out by their ankles in the middle of the night. And I agree with you, more resistance attacks against ZOG forces in Iraq and elsewhere can be anticipated. Thanks for your great message.
Well, hell, Israelis training GIs in Iraq. They're training them in Georgia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They got Israeli military over there training Americans on how to do all this dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Since when do we need Israelis? All, you know, the only thing you need Israelis for is to teach you dirty tricks.
Oh, no, they teach you the ideology,
what
too.
They're doing against the Palestinians.
Well, I think a lot of it's ideology. They got to make the troops' minds right to know that Israel is sacred and whoever opposes Israel is the devil. I mean, that's what
well,
a lot of it is.
Yeah, they do that all. The ADL and
you
all.
Know, the ADL, they do that to the police, they do that to the army.
They take mayors over there by the dozens. They take newspaper reporters. Mm-hmm. There was a cartoonist down here in San Diego that used to critical stuff of Israel. Right away, they took him to Israel on a big trip, and he came back and he changed his whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're masters at that crap. They sure are. Of course, you know they got the ADL going into all the police departments, the academy, the FBI, everybody, and training them, you know.
They call it sensitivity training or hate crime training.
Hate crime training. And here's the ADL that actually was guilty of many felonies.
Mm-hmm.
They all over the country, but they caught him up in San Francisco.
Yeah, spy networks.
With Bullock and his cops and all that kind of
Fred
stuff.
Fred Verdine and all the buddies.
Yeah, incidentally, I wanted to join in that lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And,
and
those ragheads and that congressman.
Pete McCluskey.
Yeah, Pete McCluskey and all those ragheads wouldn't let me join in.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
So screw the politicians.
I used to support Pete McCluskey, son of a bitch.
And screw the ragheads.
Yeah.
You know, but they won the case.
Yeah.
But you know what they did? They made the ADL give some money to some charity. That was their big slap on the fingers. Now they got caught over in Denver too, smearing this guy and his wife, and they won.
Yeah.
They won against the ADL.
Yeah, they won some money.
Finally, the ADL is losing a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but hell, I mean. How could you trust any cop that ever talks to you?
Yeah.
Because they're all being trained by your enemies.
Yeah.
And not only just your enemies, but your criminal enemies that will set anybody up if they can.
Well, they're not only they're being trained, they're being bribed. Like you say, the free trips to Israel and stuff. Could you imagine this would be the 30s and the German-American Bund was giving the cops free trip to the Third Reich?
Right.
The Jews would be howling in the screaming.
Well, they're still howling about Lindbergh who went over
went
over there on a trip and said they ran things pretty good and God, the Jews still
yapping
about that.
Never. But could you imagine, it's practically, there's very few head of police departments in America that haven't been to Israel on an Israel paid vacation.
That's right, and the minute you say you don't like Jews.
Yeah.
Or you're critical of them, the cops are going to be
Because the Jews gave my family free vacation. What have you ever done for me?
And I think the farther down south you get, and the more Christian you get, the worse you get. And that's another reason. You don't talk to any cop, any agent, nothing. I have nothing to say. I don't care if they're going to keep you in jail for 100 years. I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
And if you don't learn that, you're going to get screwed, and don't come crying to Terrible Tommy and Dr. Kaldenberg, because we are the co-owners of all truth.
Yes.
Okay?
Message, by the way, we have 1,500 illegals crossing our border in Arizona. So, you know, I'm sure that some of the Al-Qaeda boys will learn Spanish and will be able to cross that border with, biologics and who knows what else, but maybe even a suitcase nuke. But you're right. The end for the federal government, the end of this evil democracy is at hand. I don't believe it can go another 10 to 20 years. But it will come down. History proves that this multiracial, multicultural, totally corrupt, multinational oligarchy called democracy will fail. And the sooner it fails, the better, because you know our race is really going to be in serious trouble if we don't get this thing going here pretty quick. Good alert. It's a fantastic message. Thank you very much, Tom.
Well, you know about all this money being spent on Homeland Security now? What a boondoggle.
Well, the Homeland Security is just to watch people like us. That's the only thing it does.
Yeah, well, they can watch me till hell freezes over. And I think most people can outsmart those bastards.
Mm-hmm.
They keep talking about how they're going to stop terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Why, that's a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody with half a brain is pretty sharp,
mm-hmm.
could be a pretty effectual terrorist. You may ultimately get caught, but first strike, they can't. Yeah. They're not going to stop
terrorists.
Well,
the Homeland Security, they're not concerned at all with stopping terrorists. All they're concerned is spying on American citizens, and that's all it is they're going back to the old Hubert Hoover days of the FBI, when they had just a big spy network on anybody who would dissent against the American the center, the dictatorship of the center, the, you know, the Republican Party, Democrat Party, anybody who dissents against them gets spied on. And
yeah, pretty soon we'll have TV cameras on every corner.
Oh, yeah.
They've already got it in England,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Where they got, I don't know how many, tens of thousands of cameras
they've
got on every street corner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the British, you know, the English people, I think anybody raised under the English system is a patsy. There's something wrong with
what
them.
What famous...
Because they never revolt. Mm-hmm. I mean, when's the last revolt in England? Clear back, not Cromwell, was before Cromwell. There was another one, 16-something.
The Magna Carta?
Well, that was...
The peasant rebellion?
Well, yeah, but they just look at South Africa. I mean, what the hell's the matter with the Englishmen? You should have heard the people, a lot of them emailed me when that show we did on the BBC. We had a lot of good emails, but a lot of the emails were just like here.
Yeah.
Oh, why, they're wonderful. It's wonderful that they're coming in here. Now, they got such a small country, man, it don't take much to just... overrun them, and they're pretty much in the cities overrun now.
Yeah.
And still, there's no violent reaction except some small street action.
What novel portrayed England as a nation with cameras everywhere, watching everywhere you go? That's a quiz question.
Yeah, 1984.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was English socialism, where Big Brother was watching you everywhere.
Right, and it's actually what took over in England was... Fabian socialism with the capitalists holding the money.
Yeah, yeah.
Fabian socialism was much more effective than the socialism that Russia installed.
Yeah.
As long as Stalin was alive, he could keep it going. Yeah. But once he was dead, it was all over.
That's a bad thing about a cult of personality is once the guy who's the head of the cult is alive, it's great, but once he dies, the whole thing falls apart because nobody has the charisma he does, and everybody's, you know, trying to fight over the control of it. That's kind of the history of all the movement.
But you can't call it socialism, really, if you got a dictator, right? I mean, how do you...
The dictatorship of the proletariat, baby.
Shit, that's never been in the history of man,
the
dictatorship of the crowd. Are you kidding?
No, you know what the proletariat means, what Engels...
The workers.
No. Engels defined it in a book called Socialism, Scientific or Utopian. A proletariat is somebody who works constantly but never gets out of debt.
Oh.
It doesn't mean worker.
Sounds like most of my friends.
Yeah, but he wants to have a dictator, a government of people who work all the time and never gets out of debt. And you say, why would anybody want to have a government where people work all the time? You know, because that's a socialist ideal.
Well, that's the carrot on a stick, though. They go into debt, and then they have to work.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole concept, I have to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. If you're not in debt, you don't owe a lot of money, why can't you just be an artist or a scientist to dabble around in your garage?
Yeah.
What is this overwhelming thing? I've got to work at a job.
Yeah.
A job. I've got to punch the clock. Yeah. I mean, I don't think man was really meant to live like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we were hunters and gatherers, that the average guy only worked 4 hours a day. Because, you know, basically he was just fishing and hunting and picking berries. So 4 hours a day, he would hunt and fish, and then he'd mend, you know, like the tent or whatever, and make his shoes. And then the rest of the time, you know, actually living was screwing off because when he was working, he was fishing and hunting, you know.
Well, that's back when the priests then could get them all together and farm the people.
Yeah.
In other words, it's people farm. Socialism and capitalism are people farming.
Yeah.
To where we're all part of the animals on the farm.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Dr. Kahlenberg, we got to get on out of here.
Uh-oh.
That's it for this week.
You going to close out with a song?
I probably will, or part of a song.
Or
so
a soft shoe.
Let's see. I might even sing if these people piss me off enough.
Then I'll get out of the room.
Yeah, man. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from War Radio, the sedition capital of the world.
Living on the road, my friend, was keep you free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dream. Pancho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying words. Oh, but that's the way it goes. All the better all is saved. They could have had him any day. They only let him slip away. Out of kindness, I suppose. Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. The dusty poncho bit down south, ended up in Lefty's mouth. The day they laid poor poncho low, Lefty split for Ohio, where he got the bread to go. Nobody knows. All the better, all is saved. They could have had him any day. We only let him slip away. Out of kindness, I suppose.
Cleveland's cold, so the story ends, we're told. Poncho needs your prayers, it's true, to save a few for Lefty.